The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Between the Synapse with Mark Tobin. If you're looking to learn something useful, you've come to the wrong place. But as Belushi once said, it don't cost nothing. So, let's get things started. Here's Mark Tobin.
And welcome to Between the Synapse. I'm Mark Tobin. I'm your host. Thanks for tuning in, or if you're listening to the podcast, thanks for downloading. Today's guest is Shay Serrano, who's going to be sharing his thoughts on what's hot this summer. This is the official, first official Between the Synapse guide to summer show. And Shay, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, homie.
Shay's an award-winning music writer and goofball. That's what your bio says. So I have a question. I get the award-winning music writer, but do you actually get an award for the goofball part?
I don't know. There's no actual award for that one. That was something one of my editors came up with. I think he was picking on me at the time. And I thought he plugged it in there.
All right. Well, okay. Well, you may want to check on that one. But you write. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone who writes for as many online outfits as you've been. Grantland, Rolling Stone, ESPN, MTV, LA Weekly, Village Voice, just to name a few. And you've got a book on Amazon, available on Amazon as well as others, I'm sure, which is Bun B's Rap Coloring Book and Activity Book. Tell us about that. What is that?
That is exactly what it sounds like. It's a coloring book that I made with a rapper named Bun B, who's a pretty popular guy. It's got coloring pages and activity pages with just a bunch of different rappers that are in there. You can actually buy it in like real, actual stores. So it's a real thing, which is crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you can physically go and you don't have to wait 2 days.
Yeah, you can go to Barnes & Noble and pick you up a coloring book.
Cool. Well, what was the impetus to produce that?
Bun, actually, he lives in around Houston, and I guess he had been wanting to do a book for a while, and there's some other writers in town, and I guess he knows other writers as well, but he saw some of the stuff that I was doing, and he hit me up. He just knew he wanted it to be something fun, something funny, so that's why he called me instead of somebody, you know, that might be better at actual writing. And so we came up with, you know, we pitched around a few ideas, and then we came up with a coloring book idea. I started a Tumblr for it. I put it up, and then it went viral. It was on like all the, you know, all the places the thing goes when it goes viral. And then after that happened, then different publishers started calling me saying they wanted to turn it into a real book. So we worked that out, and boom, there you go. Now we got a book in the stores.
Nice. I didn't realize this. I started reading your stuff. I didn't realize, number one, that you were from Houston. That was actually coincidental. And more coincidental is the fact that you are, grew up in San Antonio just like I did, and are also a huge fan of the San Antonio Spurs.
That is correct. Most accurate things.
Now I probably I go further back than you do, I do believe, in my fandom just by virtue of age, but I'm sure that doesn't mean that I'm any more passionate. You've been covering the series, and what are your thoughts so far?
I don't know. It feels like last year's series to me. I keep expecting for the Heat to do something amazing and just break my heart, but I'm praying against them.
You're a Spurs fan. I mean, that's how we live day to day.
Yeah. I guess that's how it works. But you know, I want them to win every game by 1,000 points. I light my little prayer, my Mexican prayer candles, and I tell my mom to give the ojo to LeBron, and you know, we just roll with it and see what happens.
Well, I hope it works tonight. You know, I know that the country wants a 7-game series. At this point, I'm happy for a 5-game series.
I would definitely. I'm ready for 5 games as well.
And a parade, you know, a parade on the Riverwalk, you know, as soon as possible is good for me.
Yes.
So I saw that you sent some texts to Coach Popovich. Was that last year or for this season?
I started it last year. We did it all 7 games, and then we got a whole bunch of messages that when this playoff started, you know, asking if we were going to do it again. So they asked me to send Pop some more messages. So yeah, we've been doing it this year as well.
And has he ever responded?
Yeah, he responds to all of them. You don't read it? You ask me about the column, you don't even read it? That's messed up, man.
Well, I just saw that at the last second. and that was just something that I just caught. So I didn't have a chance to get into detail. So, but thanks for outing me on that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
You know, on my own show here, I really thankful. Have you met him in person?
I have not, only on cell phone. I don't know that he exists in outside of the. Is it still called the AT&T Center? I don't know if he exists outside of that. I think he just only is in human form inside there, and then after the games, he turns into like a mist or something, just you know,
or gas or something like that.
Yeah, and just gone.
Wow. And yeah, now that would explain a lot. Mm-hmm. I took my son, who's 14. We drove in for game two. And obviously that didn't turn out as we had planned.
Y'all, your fault. That's why we lost. You didn't go to game one, did you?
No. But I
won. Did you go to game three?
Look, well, I'm not going to game five. So, well, that makes you happy.
You got to never go to a Spurs game again. You probably shouldn't even watch it on TV. You should just wait, see what happens. I mean, then they're going to win.
You know what? I'm going to go bowling tonight. that's what I'll do. I will just go bowling with my bad shoulder. I haven't been bowling in years. I get the superstition, you know. But I just can't. I went to a finals game. I went to one in 07, and they won that. So, you know, I don't know who, I just can't, I'm not going to blame myself for the missed free throws. But look, we're going to move on because their performance in game three was something for the ages. And, you know, I know Miami, when their back is against the wall, plays their best, particularly LeBron. So I don't expect that, we're going to see a repeat. It's going to be a much tougher game. And I think if the Spurs can play well at the end, I think that they can come out with another W tonight.
They were like 4 free throws away from being up 3-0, is what I think. But yeah,
and one Dwayne Wade flop, you know, that the ref missed. And by the way, congratulations. I saw you, just so you know, that I do actually read your stuff. You are purchasing, or you're about to buy a house.
Yeah, that's true. We just found that out this morning. It's crazy to me that we were able to do that just by writing about the Spurs or rap music or Mortal Kombat or whatever. Like, that's unbelievable.
As you said, it's a beautiful country.
It really is.
And so you're not you're saying just teaching science to inner city kids doesn't put the bill by itself?
No, it doesn't. My wife does. She stays at home, right? So when she stopped working about 7 years ago when our first kids were born, and so it's just me trying to make the money. I had to make up that income. So when we applied for the loan, I only put the teacher money on there because it's just easier than filling it. You have to do a bunch of other stuff when you do, you know, because I'm a freelancer, so it's like contractor work. And I just put the teacher money on there, and they were like, no, you can't. You don't make near enough money to get what you're asking for. You know, we're trying to get a nice house in a nice neighborhood. We don't want to live in a terrible part of town. So they told us no. And after we put the included the writing stuff on there, then they were like, oh, yeah, you're our best friend. Here you go. Take this money and go buy a house. So
nice. That's crazy. Hey, and just for the record, because this show is national, there are no bad parts of town in Houston. Every part of town in Houston is lovely. It's just some are better than others, but I don't want people to get the wrong impression.
Oh, okay.
Every place is a great place to live, and it's also really nice here all summer long.
Yeah.
It's a great place to come for a summer vacation.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So this is the place to be. So I want to talk about what your thoughts about what. You know what's happening this summer, but we're going to get to that in a break in just a couple minutes. But before we do, you know, what's on your mind right now?
I don't know, man. I'm just sort of overwhelmed with the house stuff. That's all. I just been, you know, I don't know. That's it. I was waiting on some cool questions from you.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. I didn't know if you had a upcoming piece that maybe you wanted to talk about. Well, as I said, I want to talk about the summer and your thoughts, but we only have a couple minutes before the break. But I am curious, how did you get into the blogging and the writing? Is it because you were a music fan and just kind of went from there, or what was the story?
Yeah, the way that works. So I mentioned my wife had stopped working. She was pregnant with twins. I have three boys, twin 7-year-olds, and then a baby. Oh. He's someone
just like Manu. Ginobili's
yeah.
got twins.
Yeah, exactly. I tried to get her to name the boy the twin. I was like, let's name them Duncan and Manu. And she said, no, I hate that. I said, all right, well, what about Tim and Duncan? And she's no, I'm throwing all kind of spurs at her, but the baby, like we had the boys, we couldn't. She wouldn't let me name after any spurs. We tried to find another baby. We wanted to get a girl, and we found out it was a boy, and she was real sad about that. So I was like, oh, can I name him? And she said, yeah, name this one whatever you want. I don't care, whatever. So we named him Parker because he was, yeah. So the baby, he's named after Tony Parker.
Oh, that's cool.
Unbelievable. But, so she stopped working then. She was a teacher as well. We needed to supplement that income. So I was, like, applying for jobs around the neighborhood, Papa Do's or Target, all this stuff, like part-time stuff I was trying to get, work as a stocker in the grocery store. Nobody would hire me because I already had a full-time job. So I was, like, trying to think of stuff that I could do where I wouldn't have to leave the house. And I forget. I think she mentioned maybe, you know, writing came up. So I thought, all right, well, I'll give that a try. I started reading different people. I think I'm smarter than these guys. I know I'm funnier. So I just started calling the newspapers in town, telling them, like, oh, hey, I'm a new writer. I just moved to Houston. You know, you should let me write for you. And people kept telling me, no, I don't even know who you are. Why are you calling me type of thing? And then after a while, I got some little paper. They told me, yes, I did. I wrote for them. I was able to use that to, like, sort of work my way up. I started writing for there's a paper in town called the Houston Press. There's, like, the alt-weekly here. Mm-hmm. And they let me do a bunch of cool stuff. They gave me, like, some big stories to write. And I did one or two stories that got, like, some national attention. And from there, I moved up to the bigger paper in the chain called LA Weekly. And there's an editor there. His name is Ben Westhoff. He's super, super great. And that paper has a big readership, so other people started reading it. And then after a while, you know, the bigger places started coming and asking if I could write for them. And, well, it sounds like a fast thing. It took a few years. But here we are, so... I didn't go to school for writing or anything. I just sort of started doing it. When I very first started writing, I had this, it was like a stupid little, like a blog. Everybody had a blog spot at the time. Everybody kept saying, oh, you got to start your own thing. So I made one, and I'll put something on there like once a month. Just ridiculous stuff. I'll draw some pictures and whatever. And I sent it to Henry Abbott from ESPN. He's running the True Hoop site. And I was just looking for anybody's email address I could find. And he had his posted on there, so I emailed him something. And he said, hey, man, it was like a joke about playing charades with people from history. I don't know, it was terrible. It was awful. I read it today. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. But he saw it, and he said, hey, this is funny. If you do something about basketball, let me know. And that when he said that, I felt like, well, this is an ESPN guy. He's got to know what he's talking about. So that's when I really started like pushing at it. And
wow,
there you go.
Well, that's an amazing story. I mean, you're prolific in a number of publications and a number of areas. And we're going to be talking about that just after this break. Stay tuned to Between the Synapse.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ooh, Tanajan.
Are you happy with just accepting and passing along what the media, politicians, and government are feeding you? Or are you positively sick of it? It's time to get the real facts and form your own decisions. It's time to awaken the sleeper within you. Each week, host Dr. Nick Castellano will uncover various viewpoints and topics designed to inform and present the truth. Today's masses are manipulated by media coverage, and we will not become sheeple. Tune in to Awaken the Sleeper, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Variety Channel.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
Hey, and welcome back to Between the Synapse. I'm your host, Mark Tobin. We are talking to Shay Serrano, writer extraordinaire who writes about basketball, music, culture, at all, and thanks again for joining us. If you have a question for Shay, 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. You can also tweet me at Between T Synapse. So, Shay, this summer, what advice, if people want to be kind of in the know, they want to be cool in the sense of being cool, what do you got for them? What do you tell them to listen to? What do you tell them to watch or suggest, I should say?
Well, if you, I don't know, if you live in Houston, you can't go wrong with UGK. I spend a lot of my time listening to them. They're probably my favorite rap group of all time. So I would start there. As far as this year's albums, two albums for me are the two best ones. Far and away. One's by a guy named YG, who is out of California. His album is really, really good. His album and then Future's album, those two are the only two real rap albums right now that are very great. You can buy those in actual stores. You don't have to go hunting for them on the internet. So I would start with those two guys.
And how do you differentiate? Okay, I'm going to use a pop term. Popovich term for, I'm sorry, I don't want to go short out here. How do you differentiate good to great?
I'm sorry, how do I what?
How do you differentiate a rap album from good to great? You said there's only two great ones out this summer.
Oh, I see what you're saying. If when you put the album on, it makes you want to like fight somebody. Like, oh, I want to punch my son right in the face and listen to this real loud. Like, that's when I know it's a good album. And that's what Future's album does. And YG's album is more, it makes you feel like you just want to sort of just, I just want to exist and like, I just want to be a blob and feel this music coming to me. Like, that's what that one does. If an album can do that, one of those two things, then it gets pushed up to the top.
And by the way, my reference, the Spurs motto is, you know, don't pass up a good shot for a great shot. And that's led to them having this tremendous offense with all this passing. And what was the other Pop said at the after game two? If you don't, what is it? If you don't pass, you die.
What was it? You die. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that couldn't have been truer, and they certainly took that advice to heart. So on Grantland, when was it? Earlier this week, I guess yesterday maybe. I don't know. I don't know if somebody suggested this to you, or is this just something that you had to figure out for yourself. But the topic that you wrote about was the "If I Play This R&B Singer's Music, Will He Help Me Have Sex" chart. And you've got a picture of Prince. I'm not sure when that is from.
Right.
Prince is kind of timeless and sort of looks the same all the time. How did this column come about?
That one, I write about music for them every once in a while, and they have two editors there. It's a woman named Emily Yoshida and then a guy named Sean Finnessy, and they sent out an email a while back and said, hey, you know, we're going to do some more music coverage. If you have some ideas that are not just like straight reviews, let's go with, you know, let's try to do some cool stuff. And they're super great about that. Like, I send them, I don't know, I send Sean 10 terrible ideas of just crazy stuff I can think of, or, you know, that I think might be funny to do. And he'll pick out which one is going to be a good one. And then he'll turn it into an idea that we should work on. So with that one, last month, I did a chart. There was this big story about these two rappers that were getting into a fight with some LA, I believe it was LAPD. It was on video this time, so everyone was talking about it. So let's make a chart that people can look at to where if you see this rapper, you should know if I should fight him or not. And so the chart was like rating how tough these rappers were in real life, and should you try to fight them if you see them, like in a joking way. And it spread all over. Everybody's talking. I had underestimated how much people like to talk about hypothetical fights. And so it spread crazy. It's probably like the most popular thing I ever wrote. And
did you underestimate any of them? And if you did, did they call you and they kind of pissed off?
Here's what's crazy. So this came out, and this was like a week or so, 2 weeks before the whole thing happened with Solange. Did you see the thing where Beyonce's little sister beat up Jay-Z in the elevator?
Yeah, how could I not?
Okay, so that happened. Before that, the chart came out, the fight chart, and Jay-Z, I put him on there. I said, he's not a tough rapper. He's not a tough guy. You can fight this guy. If you want to fight him, you're going to be all right. And everyone was like, oh, but he did this, he did that. He's got like a history of violence type of thing. And I said, doesn't matter, because he's a married man now. He's got kids. He's not going to fight you back. That's just what happened. And everyone was giving me crap about it. And then the video came out, and it was a girl, you know, Solange beating up Jay-Z, and everybody's like, oh, well, I guess you were right about that. And then right after that is when T.I., another rapper, he tried to, like, fight Floyd Mayweather. And then on the chart, I had T.I. as, like, a tough guy. Don't fight this guy because he's crazy. And he's a little dude, but little dudes from the South are crazy. Don't fight him. And so I was, like, perfect, spot on with those two guys. So then after that, everybody sort of leave me alone. I haven't had any rappers contact me directly. I think most understood it was a joke, just playing around. But,
nobody showed up at your doorstep saying
no, thankfully. You know,
Raise me 10 points.
I made sure not to put any of the Houston rappers on there because those guys will show up at your house for real.
I want to talk to you about the Houston rap scene, but I do want to get back to this probability of sex, because one of the things you did, which I found interesting, was you have some of them by age. So you've got like the 35-year-old Usher, and then I guess you've got you know, is it a younger Usher or?
Yeah, you know, that was when he was 19. I believe it was 19. He had an album come out called My Way, so I was using that one as a, you know, as a barometer.
Ah, and so the probability is much lower than the younger one. Is that my understanding here? Did I get that right?
Yeah, if you look at the chart, you've got R&B singers that are pushing to the left. If they're pushing towards the left, the further the left that they go, the less likely it is that they're going to help you have sex. And then the further to the right they go, the more likely. So like Prince, he's all the way 100% to the right. He can't get any further. He's going to help you. And somebody like Chris Brown is all the way to the left. He is not going to help you. That's how the
chart works. Okay, is that because of his reputation in terms of domestic violence or because of his music?
No, just because when he sings, he's super nasally. It sounds like it's coming out of a kazoo. So, and that a kazoo is not sexy. Nobody wants to.
Okay, so what about Trey Songz with a Z?
Yeah, Trey Songz is terrible. I saw him, he's super corny. I don't know if you're familiar with his music. He's super corny and just, he's like, I saw him in concert one time. He was opening up for Jay-Z when Jay-Z was in town. And I was excited because he has like two good songs, right, that they play on the radio. Oh, man, this is going to be fun when I see him perform this live. And it was not fun at all. He was really corny, like hokey and just sort of, he was like the kind of guy that would give somebody a chocolate rose and then, like, take a bite out of it himself. Like, that's just who he seemed like to me. So he was, I don't know. I just didn't like it. Maybe it's just because I don't like his music. But, yeah, he's not going to help you have sex. Maybe if you want to have sex with, like, a 16-year-old, then they like him a lot. But
well, hey, well, okay, we're not going to be talking about that on the show here. Okay. But hey, for all you, and this, you know, this is something that applies. This is not just... this is for everybody can learn from this chart. You can find it on Grantland. If I play this R&B singer, will he help me have sex? It is necessary reading for everyone. So let's get back to the summer. So you mentioned a couple albums. What about summer TV? What's good and what's bad?
Oh shoot, that's a serious question. I don't watch a whole bunch of TV. I've seen some stuff on Netflix. We just started watching this old TV show called Oz, which is about being in prison.
And yeah, that's an uplifting show.
It used to come on HBO. Now the reason we started watching it is because my wife and I, we drop our sons off, my kids off once a week. Summer, I send the two older boys down to their grandparents in San Antonio, so we have like a week of just chilling out with the baby. And the baby goes to sleep at 7 o'clock, whatever, so we can actually watch TV. Well, we don't watch TV too much during the week, right?
The baby's not into Oz. Parker's not into Oz.
Not yet. He's not yet into Oz. But so everybody was talking about this show called Orange Is the New Black and how great it was.
Yeah.
And so we watched it, and it's like the corniest thing I ever watched in my whole life. It was terrible. It was about these women in prison, and it probably could have been good, but it was just too hokey. And so when it was over, I'm like, man, I want to watch a real TV show about, like, an interesting one about prison. I want to see the people get stabbed. And so somebody mentioned Oz, so we started watching that one. But, yeah, don't watch Orange Is the New Black. Everyone's talking about how great it is. We watched season one. That one was, you know, it was pretty decent. It wasn't great, but it was okay. This new one is terrible. It's awful. Don't waste your time with that one. Watch old Oz. It's on Amazon or the streaming TV thing or whatever.
All right. What other advice do you have for folks to do this summer?
Don't go watch Godzilla. As long as you don't go watch Godzilla, you'll have a good summer. I imagine that movie was terrible too. Did you watch that? It's like the worst thing.
No, I've not. But I thought the reviews were actually seemed a little bit better than I thought they would be.
Really? But, I didn't read any of the reviews.
It's not something that I plan to see. I prefer the ones from the 60s, you know, that were made in Japan, where the mouths and the action don't match.
Yeah, the new one is really bad. It's cool for like 5 minutes, and then it just sort of drags on. And
right. I mean, once you've seen it, the Godzilla destroy stuff. It's you got the idea, and you know, move on.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's not even like a bad guy in the movie. He's the good guy. Godzilla is.
Oh really? Oh, I guess you're giving it away. No, I did not know that. Oh, I knew that there was a lot more depth to Godzilla than most people thought. Okay, well, let me ask you this question: if Godzilla was into rap music, who would he listen to?
Oh, he'd probably listen to somebody who just destroys things. So, I would say DMX, maybe Rich Homie Quan. He would probably listen to those two guys the most.
You know, I could see a commercial. You know, they've already used him in commercials, but you know, where he's got Beats headsets on, and
yeah.
You know, just sort of, you know, hanging out, listening, and you know, as he's, you know, it doesn't have to be destroying anything at the time, but I think that might be a good tie-in for the movies. You know, now everything, you know, they have all these tie-ins. I mean, you've been watching, you know, for example, the NBA playoffs. And first of all, let me ask you this: what do you think of the commercials? They've been running like the same five commercials during the NBA playoffs. Which do you find the most annoying?
The commercials, you know what's more and more into me than just the commercials is they don't. I think they stopped doing it for the finals, but they had Pitbull, and you know he was doing like the promo music for it, and that was awful. I get excited whenever they do the playoff, like the montages. I'm always excited to see who they pick for those. That was one because the Spurs won the championship in 2005. And when they played in the Phoenix series, they were using In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best one of all time that I've ever seen as far as the montages go. I remember watching that one and being like, this is what it's supposed to look like. They were showing the move where Manu goes, the behind-the-back backwards layup that he does in slow motion. They're showing it like in black and white. I think it was Mike Breen that was talking over. It might have been somebody else. But, those were cool. So when I saw this year, I saw it was Pitbull. That was very disappointing. I don't care for him too much. He's probably been the most annoying thing I've seen during the playoffs.
More than the Sprint commercials for Framley?
Oh, those are terrible. Those are the worst thing. I was really excited for when the Thunder were playing for somebody, one of the announcers to mention it. Like I wanted somebody to drive in on Durant, crossover, going for a layup, and he just swats it into the front row, and the announcer to be like, "Oh, he doesn't want to be in your Framley," or something crazy like that. nobody ever did it. But yeah, those ones are I don't understand those commercials at all. I don't know why somebody came up with that, but. You know, we're talking about it, so that's probably the point of a commercial, is just to make you talk about it. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm not changing my service, but we can ponder that during this break. We've got to take a quick break. Stick around on Between the Synapse.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Very rarely does our news media spotlight some of the good things that are happening in our world. For more of these good stories and the people that are creating them, tune in to Bread for the Journey with Mariana Cacciatore. Whether these good acts stem from personal tragedy or just a desire to help out and make this a better world in which to live, you'll find inspiration in every week's program. Connect with those that are doing something great for a change. Listen for Bread for the Journey, Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
Hey, and welcome back to Between the Synapse. I'm Mark Tobin. We are talking to Shay Serrano about music and things that are happening this summer. So Godzilla is out. Pitbull is out. We got invited to a party at last year's rodeo, and Pitbull was the singer, and I was really confused because he kept singing all these songs that sound, you know, were familiar, and I'm like, you know, did he do all these songs? You know, and everybody's saying, well, you know, he sang on part of this song, or you know, had something to do with this song. It was all, you know, really confusing as to what, you know, is he just a singer? Is he a does he do his own stuff? Does he just latch on to other people's stuff? I'm a little confused. I mean, you know, he's a very energetic entertainer and you know, really, you know, kind of puts it out there, but sweats a tremendous amount. You know, what's his story? Tell me about Pitbull.
But he's from Florida, somewhere around there, and he got real popular. He figured out how to make very big hooks for songs. So he doesn't do like a lot of heavy rap music. He does. He'll get with a pop person and make the hook for it, or give him, you know, do a sing verse for it, and then there you go. He's very successful. You know, he can't deny. He's, you know, millionaire several times over. But that's what he does. I met him one time. He was in Houston for this. They're doing like a record thing. He's a nice guy. He's a tiny guy. He's probably about 5'7", 5'8", something like that. So he was looking at me right in my eyes, and he smelled really good. You could tell he had a lot of money. But as far as music goes, like, yeah, I just went with it.
He smelled really good.
Famous people always smell really good. I don't know what kind of special cologne they have. I mentioned that, that thing you were talking about earlier, that R&B thing. I was writing about, I hung out with Robin Thicke one time, and he smelled like amazing. Like, I wanted to give him a kiss. That's how good he smelled. Every time you meet a famous person, they just smell good.
Huh. You know, I'll have to check that out. Next time I do, in terms of smell.
Yeah, they smell so different from ordinary people. I smell like mulch or tortillas. And they, you know, and that's how normal people smell, and not these guys.
Flour or corn?
Flour.
Okay. So what's your favorite Mexican food place in San Antonio?
This place called Mendez Cafe over off of my military, Southwest Military. It's wonderful. I go there every time I go to San Antonio.
Really? All right. I've never been there.
You should go there.
All right. So look, I wanted to ask you, and I know you've got to run in a couple minutes, but you seem to have developed an expertise at chaperoning middle school dances, and you've written about that a couple times. What advice do you have to others who might be in the position to chaperone such a dance?
Oh, shoot. Just stay out the way, man. Let them kids do what they do. Yeah, I've been a teacher in South Houston for about 10 years now, and we have a few dances every year. And so I always say, you know, volunteer to go chaperone them, or you get, you know, told to go chaperone them type of thing. And It's a funny thing. I remember being in middle school. I remember doing all the exact same stuff. There's always a group of kids that stand on the outside. They're a little too shy, and they just sort of hang out and eat pickles or drink Coke or whatever. And then the kids in the middle
Y'all serve pickles at a middle school dance?
Yeah, we serve all kinds of stuff at the middle school. The middle school dance is popping, man. You got pickles, cake.
But who serves pickles at a middle school? The pickles? Like sliced pickles or whole pickles?
Like a whole pickle.
Whole pickle, okay.
You never eaten a pickle before? Like, that's a big thing in Latino culture. You get a pickle and you put something in it, like a Chinese candy. You put that in there, or peppermint. It's what you like. And we throw the pickles.
Okay. Give me my pickles. All right. No, I like pickles. It was the whole, pickles at the middle school dance thing that threw me.
If you sell anything you sell at a middle school dance, kids are going to buy no matter what it is. So if you chaperone a dance, just hang out. Just leave them alone. They'll be all right. They're not going to do anything too bad.
What about the music? I mean, obviously, with your understanding of music and what the kids want, sometimes you're like, this just sucks. Can we change the channel?
Right. Yeah, just play whatever. Like, you take all the songs that you like as a person, as a human, as an adult, and just don't play any of those songs. And then you'll be all right. You play everything else besides the ones you want to hear, and the kids will go crazy.
Just play like the top five songs over and over again.
That's all you need, yeah.
And real quick, so you teach science, and is do you teach a particular kind of science, or is it just sort of general?
No, I do general. They break down my grade levels. I teach eighth grade, so in eighth grade, you talk about like everything from the periodic table up to the types of galaxies that there are. We go from small to big, that type of thing. So, yeah, we cover a whole bunch of stuff in eighth grade. It's cool, man. It's a wonderful job.
And in 10 years, are things going in the right direction, wrong direction, or in, are they the same?
As far as
general education in terms of kids succeeding and moving on, learning what they need.
I see what you're saying. Now, it's about the same as when I started. HSD has a big push on tests. They like to do a bunch of standardized tests. And so you just sort of, work around that. And it's fine. I don't hate it. I hear a bunch of teachers talk about they hate that sort of thing. But for me, I like it because in eighth grade, at the end of the year, the kids have to take a big science test. So it's like a thing that we work towards for the whole year. They don't take one in sixth grade. They don't take one in seventh grade. They get to eighth grade. You have to know all of this stuff. And so for me, it's cool. I appreciate it just because it's something we work toward. It's a goal. And they know I have to do this at the end of the year. And, it's like their NBA finals right there. Did you pass the test? Did you fail the test? It's a big thing that they get to work towards. And, it's cool when you get some kids that you get to tell them that they passed the test. It's heartbreaking when you've got some that you have to tell that failed it. But, that's just the way it works out.
And do your kids read your stuff?
Some of them do. Yeah. They. I don't think anybody knew that I was writing until I started doing stuff for, like, ESPN or whatever. I remember, I think it was the last year, a year before, I was on, they do, like, a basketball show on their website. And so they had me on there, and I was, I was talking about whatever type of thing. And then the next day, one of the kids came up to me. It was, like, one of my football players. I coached football and basketball at school. And he came up, and he's like, Coach, I saw you on my Xbox. I said, well, what the hell are you talking about, man? And he said, oh, there's, like, apps on my Xbox, and it shows feeds or whatever, and you came up on there. Like, there was a video of you talking about basketball. I said, oh, that's cool. And then, like, after that, I guess you start telling people, and people found, the kids found out. So they think it's a cool thing, especially when the coloring book came out. They thought that was, like, super cool because I was able to talk to all these different rappers about it.
Right. Well, no, that is great. And my guess is being on Xbox, is probably better than, if you were on actual, national TV.
Being on a kid's Xbox, like being in the New York Times for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that, my guess that would have been pretty stunning to see your teacher pop up on when you're playing. I can't even whatever the games. But well, listen. I know that that you've got it going, and I just want to thank you for taking the time. Good luck with the new house, and I hope you have a very good summer.
Oh, I appreciate you, homie.
All right, and let's go Spurs go.
Yeah, man. All right, talk to you later.
All right, take care.
Yep.
All right. That was Shea Serrano, who's a writer based in Houston. He writes, as I mentioned before, for Grantland and for ESPN, for LA Weekly, for the Village Voice, and a number of other publications, and has a coloring book that he did with Bunwrap. It's called the Bunwrap Coloring Activity Book. You can find it at Amazon, or you can even find it at Barnes & Noble. You can find out more about Shea or contact him directly at Twitter at Shea Serrano, S-C-R-R-A-N-O. We are going to take a break, and we'll be right back to conclude the show. Stick around.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Tired of lackluster results with your marketing? Craving more leads in your business? Tune into the Mojo Marketing Edge with the team behind Mojo Global Marketing, Ira Rosen and Corey Michael Sanchez. Winners of the Marketer of the Year, they will show you how to generate daily leads, build databases of raving fans, and close deals faster than ever before. See what's hot right now and how you can tap into it to generate an endless supply of customers and clients. The Mojo Marketing Edge can be heard every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right, and welcome back to Between the Synapse. Thanks again to Shea Serrano for joining us earlier in the program. So the big news this week, obviously, Virginia and Eric Cantor's loss in his reelection bid for Congress. Eric Cantor, of course, was the majority leader for the Republican Party, and he lost to a Tea Party candidate by the name of Dave Bratt. He lost 56-44%, I believe was the final tally. And this in a race in which Cantor's internal polling a day or two before the primary showed Cantor up by something like 34 percentage points. This was a race that obviously wasn't on anybody's radar as being one where that the incumbent was in trouble, particularly an incumbent of Cantor's stature. It's ironic because Cantor was a huge proponent of the Tea Party and Tea Party members of Congress, far more and than House Speaker Bonner, and in many ways was the leader of the part of the Republican House that represented views akin to the Tea Party that they were espousing. However, two things happened. One, Eric Cantor is part of the, quote, establishment. That's something that, you know, he couldn't run away from. And number two, he had been discussing immigration reform in a district that, as far as I know, has no foreign borders, at least not right now. Immigration became a major issue and contributed significantly to his defeat, along with the perception that, you know, he, or because of his duties as majority leader, was not as in touch with the district. Whether that perception was right or wrong, it doesn't really matter. That was a perception of the voters. Of course, before this, the conventional wisdom was that the Tea Party was on its last legs, and that the, quote, grown-ups in the Republican Party had started to take control. That was the conventional wisdom. The one thing about conventional wisdom is that it's not wisdom. And it may be conventional, but it, as in many cases, usually proves false. We saw here in Texas the defeat of a relatively moderate Republican incumbent Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst by a highly conservative right-wing challenger just a few weeks ago in the Republican runoff primary. And now we see Cantor defeated by a fairly hefty margin as well. The implications of Cantor's defeat are going to be significant. Not necessarily that other incumbents may lose in the primaries, Republican primaries between now and you know, September when they conclude. Some may not. You know, it's hard to say at this point. But the biggest issue is that the Republicans currently in Congress and the ones that will be elected in November 2014 will be even more conservative, more adherent to their base, even less likely to tackle controversial issues like immigration, like a realistic budget discussion. The issues that we need to deal with on a bipartisan basis. And I'm not saying that there's a bipartisan agreement on these issues, but these are issues which we have to have a real debate. And if Republican members of Congress believe that just by virtue of talking about certain issues such as immigration, that they are going to be subject not just to defeat, but defeat in their own party's primary, that means that they're going to stay away from any kind of moderating discussions with the Democrats. And so it will lead to a more bipolar Congress, one which gets even less done than is getting done now, one that is more contentious, and that's not good for the country. When you have an inability to even talk about certain issues, never mind the inability to reach a compromise on an issue, that's bad. And I think the Cantor defeat sends a very strong message that Republicans who don't want to be challenged in their primary will need to stick to a very, very tight line of ideals that are supported by ideologues who represent the party primary. And this is going to be a great challenge, not only for Republicans, but it's going to have implications for the entire country. That's it for today's show. Once again, I want to thank Shay Serrano for joining us. You can find him on Twitter at Shay Serrano. And don't forget to check out my blog at Between the Synapse. I want to thank the folks at Voice America, and I want to wish everyone a good weekend. Stay cool and have fun. That's it for Between the Synapse.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Mark Tobin and Between the Synapse will transmit once again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. And remember, you never know what lies between the synapse.